Welcome to God and Country Radio, weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. For this week's program, I want to return to a subject I began a couple of weeks ago concerning how to pray for the elections. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So therefore, prayer is not automatic. It must be taught. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray that God's will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So it goes without saying that in order for Christians to pray correctly, they must know the will of God. Or rather, have the mind of God to think God's thoughts after him. Now, because the Bible has so much to say about this subject of prayer, it deserves a second program. In the first program, I covered about 6 points, 6 requests we ought to make in prayer. But since that time, a number of other crucial points have been weighing on my mind, especially from the examples of prayer we see in the Psalms. So today's program is mostly going to be pointing out how the psalmist prays. The emphasis in Psalms should be our emphasis. And the more the Christian knows the scripture, the more he will pray according to the will of God. And we have the promise, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. As I mentioned in the first program, now that we're children of God and we are Christ's brothers, God will take our godly desires into consideration in his sovereign will for this world. Our intercessions matter and are heard. As we're continually assured in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 3, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Psalm chapter 4, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Psalm chapter 6, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. Psalm 22, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. Now, before we cover some additional truths about what should be the content of our prayer, by way of review, here are the 6 points I made earlier. First, our general prayer should always be that God exalts the righteous and puts down the wicked. We don't know exactly how God plans to do that, but that should be our general prayer. Number 2, we should always pray that God stops evil and that God chastens the wicked. Psalm 141:5, for still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. These are the imprecatory prayers in the Psalms, praying for judgment upon the enemies of God, which actually should be included in our prayers, that the wicked will be judged. And really, this is the most merciful and gracious request we can make for the unsaved, because God has stopped us in our sin. And if God doesn't stop sin in one's life, that would be the worst judgment of God one could ever receive. Thank God he hasn't given us over to our sin, but he has stopped us. Number 3, pray that God would allow some of the wicked to continue to be an example of evil. That's the principle found in Psalm 59:11. Do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. Number 4, don't pray presumptuously or demanding. God might have a better plan than for Trump to be president. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness demanding to have meat, as if that was a better plan than the manna. Well, the quail arrived, and that was a disaster. Number 5, pray that when judgment comes upon the wicked, upon our country, it will not be under the administration of the righteous. Let it be clearly seen that the wicked own the disaster. And number 6, the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk. After God tells Habakkuk that Israel must be invaded by the Babylonians, Habakkuk prays in wrath, remember mercy. So when I pray, these are some of the requests that I make. It's not a list that I check off, but these are the requests that often come to mind because I become so familiar with these biblical lessons. So moving on, here is prayer truth number 7, which I believe is extremely important. And I failed to emphasize it in the first program. Pray that sin will be exposed. Pray that the wickedness of wicked politicians will be exposed. This is our job as Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And in that this is our vocation, this is also a subject of our prayer, that God would bring to light the hidden deeds of darkness. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. This is the whole concept behind the prophet saying to the people that their nakedness would be exposed. Habakkuk chapter 2, Nahum 3, Ezekiel 16, Isaiah 47. It's not primarily about the embarrassment of being physically naked, but the shame and embarrassment of having one's personal sin exposed. The prayer is that the proverbial skeletons in the closet of the godless politicians be revealed. We know they're there because evil ideology never takes place in a vacuum. No politician can be pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, pro-communism, without there being a whole boatload of other personal sins, dishonesty, graft, treachery. Proverbs chapter 26, when he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. And we see this in that Kamala Harris was once in an adulterous affair with the mayor of San Francisco. And most likely her support for abortion is probably a personal experience. And Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, had an affair with his children's nanny. And so his first wife divorced him. And as a high school teacher, Tim Wohl sponsored the school's LGBTQ club. And as governor, he banned any counseling in the state that would help people get out of the gay lifestyle. He also made Minnesota a refuge for anyone seeking sex transitioning drugs or medical procedures. And all these are not false accusations like those made against the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. These are verified events in the lives of these politicians. And be sure, these politicians and these behaviors are only what we see on the surface. There's assuredly more going on behind the scenes, as when the Israelites knew that their ruling elders were not as conservative as the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel, but they didn't know the true reason why and what was really going on behind the scenes. So in Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel is given a vision whereby he digs through a wall in the temple and sees the elders there bowing before idols. The people had no idea how pagan their leaders had become. You know, I'm sure the people thought, oh, these civic leaders support civil and religious ecumenicalism, and they support individual moral choice just because they believe in equality and they're loving. But no, there is a whole lot more going on in the lives of those who supported the Baal worship, the abortion, the LGBTQ. As Donald Trump has said many times on the campaign trail, that we have some very bad people within, some sick people, some radical leftist lunatics in government. And yet he probably doesn't even know the half of what's truly going on. So we pray that the sins of these people be exposed. So many evil politicians would never have gotten into power if their personal corrupt lives were exposed. Because even the general public knows some evils are just too much. So we pray that the public would learn the nature of sin, that they would learn that those who approve of immorality are not good, loving people. Satan's ultimate goal, and the goal of those who support his lawlessness, is to deceive. The devil never tells people he plans to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't tell the truth in order to get people on his side. But the prayer of the Christian is that God would expose the devil's horns, his pitchfork, his tail, so that the naive may be made wise. The unzipping of the costume of wolves in sheep's clothing, so that the naive voter would come to realize that these people are not who they say they are, and their policies are not for their welfare, and so that the public loses their hope in man and turns to God. A whole program could be dedicated to this point, praying that sin would be exposed. Because just look at how widespread this truth is in Scripture. John chapter 3. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. 1 Corinthians 4. I, the Lord, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Isaiah 26. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and no longer cover her slain. Ezekiel chapter 12. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Lamentations 2:14, your prophets have not exposed your iniquity. Lamentations 4:22, but God will punish your iniquities, O daughter of Edom. He will expose your sins. Isaiah chapter 47, your nakedness will be uncovered. Your shame also will be exposed. I will take vengeance and will not spare a man. Now the Christian often questions why God allows so much sin to take place in our nation when he has the power to stop it. With simply a word, he could stop the abortion, the sex trafficking, and all the sexual deviants. As in the Psalms, he could bring these people low. Psalm 17, arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low. Psalm chapter 10, verse 15, break the arm of the wicked and of the evildoer. The arm is a reference to their power. It's a prayer that God disempowers ungodly leaders. You know, as I mentioned this in principle number 2, the prayer in Psalm is that God stops the wicked in their evil. But we must be also aware that God always exposes evil before he destroys it. And so we're also to pray in that regard, so that the public has the knowledge of sin, which will lead some to repentance. One thing everyone acknowledges about Trump's appearing on the scene is that it's certainly exposed to corruption in our land at the high levels. Because of Trump, we see the unbelievable censorship by the media and their collusion with the Democrat Party, the lawfare in the courts, the corruption in the elections. We see the left's plan to remake America by opening the borders. Christians may have prayed that Donald Trump would win back in 2020, may have wondered why their prayers weren't answered. Because God has a different goal, to expose the corruption and lies of our leaders. And we've certainly seen that over the last 4 years. So let's be patient and confident in Psalm 92, that when the wicked sprout up like grass and all who do iniquity flourish, that it's only that they might be destroyed forevermore. And we should pray accordingly. Now, the next prayer request, truth number 8, we see often in the Psalms that the wicked would be put to shame and humiliated. This might seem like the same prayer that evil would be exposed, but it's an additional truth. Psalm chapter 25, oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies triumph or exult over me. Indeed, it is a fact that none who wait for you will be ashamed, but those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Psalm 35, let those be ashamed and dishonor who seek my life. Let them be turned back and humiliated. Psalm 35:26, let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my disaster. Psalm 35:26, let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Psalm 71, let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor. Psalm 83, Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish. Psalm 97:7. Let all those be ashamed who serve false idols. Why pray for the shame and humiliation of the wicked? Because it's the right thing that Satan and all evil be shown to be impoverishing, debilitating, foolish. That it be shown that God is true and every man a liar. That it be shown that God is not being cruel in his ways. He is looking out for mankind's welfare. But it's Satan who wants to enslave and hurt. So pray for and look for the humiliation and the shame of the ungodly. Psalm 119:78, the shame of those who violate God's law. Principle number 9, pray that evil men will be stopped, exposed, humiliated, but even more specifically, that they would fall because of their very sin or ideology, that their fall be connected to their very policy, so that there's no mistake that their fall was not simply bad luck or suffering for righteousness' sake, but because of their ideology, their deception, their plotting. And this is a principle found throughout the Psalms. Psalm chapter 5, hold them guilty, O God, by their own devices let them fall, in the multitude of their transgressions. Psalm 37, their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Psalm chapter 10, let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. Psalm chapter 9, the nations have sunk down into the pit which they have made. In the net they have hid, their own foot has been caught. In the work of his own hands the wicked is snared. Psalm chapter 7, he has dug a pit and hollowed it out, and has fallen into the hole which he has made. His mischief will return upon his own head. Psalm 141:10, let the wicked fall into their own nets. Psalm 59, let them be caught in their pride, and on account of the curses and lies which they utter. Psalm 69, let their own table become a snare. So do we see the whole point in this prayer? It's not just for personal relief, but that God's truth will be exalted, that God's ways will be shown to be salvation, and that evil would be shown to be self-destructive. And this brings us to principle number 10, which is another angle to this truth. Pray for the vindication of the righteous. Psalm chapter 7, the Lord judges the people. Vindicate me, O Lord. Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Psalm 54, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your power. Psalm 82, vindicate the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the destitute. The request for vindication is to ask God to be a judge on our behalf against evildoers. It implies that we don't have the power to judge evildoers. God must do it. He must be the judge. And the request for vindication is most often for the sake of God's name and reputation, not just for us, that it may be known that God is a righteous God and that evil will not prosper. And this is what God will do, so we pray to that end. Ezekiel 36, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Now, given that we're running out of time, let me list a number of other biblical prayer requests. Number 10, Psalm chapter 7, pray that the assembly of the people encompass you, and over them return on high. In other words, let the public turn back to God, and put God back in his proper high place. Number 11, put an end to the wicked and reestablish the righteous. Psalm chapter 7. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. Psalm chapter 9. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they're but men. Psalm 59. that men may know that God rules to the ends of the earth. And this is a prayer that God would reestablish his authority in the world, taking possession of the title deed of the earth, as in the book of the Revelation, that God would be all in all, that the knowledge of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, or as more commonly understood, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are various ways of describing this same reasserting of God's authority and majesty, but each having a particular important nuance. Number 12, pray, do not let my enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Psalm 30, do not let my enemies rejoice over me. This is the positive side of praying for the humiliation and defeat of God's enemies. Number 13, Lord, cause the wicked to be divided. Because as it is right now, the ungodly are politically united in what's called intersectionality. Psalm 55, confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. Psalm 68, let God's enemies be scattered. And finally, number 14, pray that God does his work quickly. His work in allowing, exposing, and judging sin. Psalm 31:2, incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly. This is what Jesus commanded of Judas. What thou doest, doest quickly. And I've prayed for this quite often. You know, we know that God must allow evil and then judge evil. But, you know, it's just like a child requesting that the Band-Aid be pulled off quickly so that the pain and destruction will be over with soon. And this is the prayer in the final verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things say, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Finally, one New Testament prayer request. The Apostle Paul himself tells us his prayer for the politicians and the election. Acts chapter 26, Paul's on trial before King Agrippa. Verse 27, Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Agrippa replies to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And then Paul says, I wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. So Paul's desire, the desire he expressed to God, is that all might become followers of Christ like himself. And this is Psalm 67:2, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Psalm 72:8, may he also rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Psalm 72:19, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with his glory. The prayer is that somehow through all of this messed up election season, that God's salvation would be known and received. Now again, let me point out that the Christian doesn't make these 14 requests as a formal prayer list before God, but the Christian, reading the Bible so often, becomes so familiar with these requests that they become part of his prayers for the nation. And hence he prays within the will of God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Check that out and subscribe to help the cause. Again, all of the links are found at godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. May Jesus Christ reign.